Shall we turn to Psalms 46 and verse 10? Psalms 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Look at one more verse, Psalms 25 and verse 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day. The last part especially, on you do I wait all the day. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning time, for your grace and your mercy. Father, we are grateful that you enabled us to look upon your Son and worship you. And Father, as we read these words, O Lord, Father, we pray you'd help us, Lord, consider this a privilege and see your blessing, O Father, when you ask us to wait upon you. O Lord, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have myriad ways of responding unto our prayers. And Lord, Father, it is not only a privilege for us to talk with you, but Father, we can expect an answer and a response from you. Lord, through these many verses that we'll be looking, O Father, we pray, O Lord, that you'd help us to open our hearts, to find, O Lord, your mind and to see how you talk with us, how you respond unto us, how, Father, your heart yearns for us. O Lord, Father, that we would be encouraged, O Lord, to be drawn near close to you, near to you. O Lord, that our communion with you would be of much, much more devotion and would grow stronger day by day. Father, we pray, O Lord, that you would indeed, O Lord, take your word and bring it unto us, each one of us, O Father. Minister, O Father, unto us, O Lord, by your grace according to your needs. Father, we once again thank you for this wonderful opportunity to study your word. We pray, O Father, that you'd answer this prayer in through the name of Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today's message, I could title it this way, has unusual answers by God for our prayers. Yes, God's weird ways of answering our prayers. And we have just looked at the first way in these verses, where God is telling, wait. God is not giving an answer. And he's simply saying, relax, be still, wait. I want to begin by reading this poem to you. It goes like this. It's titled Wait.
Wait.
Yeah. Desperately, helplessly, longingly I cried. Quietly, patiently, lovingly he replied. I pleaded and I wept for a clue to my fate. And the master so gently said, child, you must wait. Wait, you say, wait, my indignant reply. Lord, I need answers. I need to know why. Is your hand shortened or have you not heard? By faith I have asked and I am claiming your word. My future and all to which I can relate hangs in the balance and you tell me wait. I am needing a yes, a go-ahead sign or even a no to which I can resign. And Lord, you have promised that if we believe, we need but ask and we shall receive. And so Lord, I am asking. This is my cry and I'm weary of asking. I need a reply. Then quietly, softly, I learned of my fate. As my master replied once again, you must wait. So I slumped in my chair, defeated and taught and grumbled to God. So I'm waiting for what? He seemed then to kneel and his eyes met with mine and he tenderly said, I could give you a sign. I could shake the heavens, darken the sun, raise the dead, cause the mountains to run. All you see I could give and pleased you would be. You would have what you want, but you wouldn't know me. You would not know the depth of my love for each saint. You would not know the power that I give to the faint. You would not learn to see through the clouds of despair. You would not learn to trust just by knowing I'm there. You would not know the joy of resting in me when darkness and silence is all you could see. You would never experience that fullness of love. as the peace of my spirit descends like a dove. You would know that I give and I save for a start, but you would not know the depth of the beat of my heart. Yes, the glow of my comfort late in the night, the faith that I give when you walk without sight, the depth that's beyond getting just what you ask from an infinite God who makes you what you have last. You never would know should your pain quickly flee what it means that my grace is sufficient for you. Yes, your dreams for the loved one overnight could come true, but the loss, yes, if you lost what I'm doing in you. So be silent, my child, and in time you will see that the greatest of gifts is to get to know me. And though oft my answer seems terribly late, my most precious answer of all is still wait. The reason why this could be one of the most unusual and weird answers is when we pray to God, we think of God to be an almighty God with infinite amount of resources to answer our prayer then and there. And what I can say for today by reading these couple of verses, that waiting on God is almost like a DNA of a Christian when we look as to how many times in the Bible saints have been written to wait upon the Lord. Like in the same psalm, again in verse 21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on you. Psalm 27, it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 33 and verse 20, our soul waits for the Lord, he is our help and shield. Psalm 37 and verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 37 and verse 9, the last part of it, those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Again, Psalm 37 and verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way. The next Psalm, Psalm 38 verse 15, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope or wait, you will hear, O Lord my God. Psalm 39, the next Psalm verse 7, and now Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in you. The next Psalm, the very first verse, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. I could go on and on because there are so many verses where the psalmist is saying, I waited patiently. But there is the problem. Just like we don't expect an answer like wait, we live in a very fast-paced world that wait is not an answer we want from anybody, leave alone from God. Couple of weeks ago, there was this news that where said that Google is discontinuing a product that it once termed as the product that will change the way we search. It's called instant search. It's so instant that you don't need to hit enter. It shows you the result before you hit the enter button. It was so revolutionary that it's there now in all the apps we use. We don't even need to hit enter whenever we search anywhere. And that's just a sign of to show how much instantaneous we want our results, how much instantaneous we want, whether it be instant search or instant food or instant ready to eat or instant Maggie. Everything needs to be instant in our life. And we live in this life of where we live with super fast 4G speeds that we just cannot tolerate when we get a downgrade to 2G. We can't tolerate websites not loading. We don't understand it is a speed problem. We think it is website is not working. We can't stand YouTube buffering. Yeah, and we can't take it. We just don't like it when, for example, when we book a cab for Uber and it says 2 minutes waiting, but it takes 15 minutes for the driver to come. Yeah. That's our life. Whether you know it or not, our life has gone so fast that we want answers right now, right then, and we can't tolerate our waiting or standing in queue for any reason. We just don't like it when we want to order something in online and we want it so badly that it shows 1 week delivery when otherwise it will always show same day delivery. Think about it. Our life is so fast that we are actually communicating with us continents apart but at the speed of light. Airline makers want to make planes that take us faster. And railways wants to upgrade lines that takes us faster. And if things have our way, we will soon be having quantum communication which makes us communicate at speed even faster than light. 10 to 100 times faster than light. You won't believe this, but it is so fast. Everything in our life is fast except for Mumbai traffic, but everything is fast in our life. And 10 years down the line, even that will be solved because things are changing so fast. And in that kind of lifestyle that we are living, when God tells us wait, how do we really take it? When we live in lifelines, lifetime, life, life having full of deadlines and timelines and ETAs and Gantt charts, when everything is on our head and pressurized, God is telling wait. And seriously speaking, when God tells wait, it can mean huge. Let's look at one example, Isaiah 56 and verse 1.
यशया 56 उसका एक यहोवा यूं कहता है न्याय का पालन करो और धर्म के काम करो क्योंकि मैं शीघ्र तुम्हारा उद्धार करूंगा और मेरा धर्म होना प्रकट होगा धर्मी होना प्रकट होगा.
I like that word in Hindi, शीघ्र, which is in KJV it says near to come, or some translation will say soon coming. And the context over here will say in verse 3 that the Lord is telling to the transgender, the eunuchs of Jerusalem, that my salvation is just about to come. It's soon coming. It's about to, just around the corner. And you see, this is such a big message for a community that has been ostracized for their whole lifetime, that God's salvation is just about to come, just coming. In other words, God is telling the wait is over. Anybody can take a guess how long after the Lord actually came? After writing these words, after how long did Christ come? How soon is that soon? 700 years. And the Lord is telling us just about to come. We just don't get it, right? 700 years means 10 generations and the Lord didn't come. Everybody who heard this word didn't see the Lord and they died. And the Lord is saying just about to come, so soon. You know, we do this often. We say, right now we'll do it and we don't do it. Like in Kerala, there is this annoying habit some people have, you know, they say, Ippuchiyam, Ippukundram. And you know when people are saying that, no work is going to get done. When people say, one minute, they all know, everybody knows people are going overboard. But can you even imagine when the Lord is saying just now, He's actually talking 700 years. There's only one way to understand this. The reason is our clocks and our calendar have been calibrated at a different speed than the way God works. Our life is moving fast and we expect God also to answer our prayers fast. But when the Lord says near, or when the Lord says far, or when the Lord says soon, there is one yardstick only for it. And the Lord could be still right. Though keeping them wait for 700 years, the Lord is still right in saying it was coming soon. Why? Because for the Lord, 1,000 years is a day. So He's just saying that by the end of the day, my salvation is coming. It didn't take even the whole day by the time the Lord Jesus came. Can you see how the calendar of God runs? And how fast we are? We run on microseconds when God is telling us to wait, relax, take it easy. Don't take it as if you need answers right now and the things need to change right now itself. Let's look at one more verse example. This is transgenders who waited for 700 years. How about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Moses, and all of them were told Christ is coming. How long did they wait? They were given a promise, and ironically it's written that they died not receiving that promise. But they waited for 2,000 to 3,000 years. God can really make us wait. Let's look at a better example. At the time of Jesus Christ's birth, as I said, it was the 10th generation that was running. So you can imagine, like, one generation telling their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, this news is getting carried over to the 10th generation, but obviously the steam loses out by the end. People are not so anxious for the coming of the Lord. But there were some people that waited. One example was Anna. Written, she was widowed for 84 years, 7 years married. That's about 91 years of old age. And then you add the age she got married. Take a conservative number and it's still easily crossing 100. Someone who is 100 years old and not dying. And don't mistake this as if a case of longevity genes, that someone had good genes to live long. It is written about Simon in the same breath that he waited for the consolation of Israel and he would not die till he saw it. Two people that just wouldn't die, they are waiting till they see Him. And how are they waiting? It's written about Anna that she was completely in the temple, fasting and worshipping. She was never tiring, even after crossing 100 years. And this is what's written about her. She saw Christ, He went about Jerusalem, told about this child to those people that were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Despite our logic and rational, people waited for thousands of years for Christ to come. Let's ask this question once again. Christ was born. Does that mean the wait was over? He was living for 33 years. Does it mean it's over? The wait was over? In fact, the dilemma or the agonizing wait was really felt with the disciples and the people that Christ interacted. It was more agonizing for these disciples because they waited, they hoped, they saw, they lived with him, and then they died, then they saw him die. I mean, now wait for what? 2,000, 3,000 years you waited and you saw the real reality of the truth that has come, and that's taken away from your life. Now is there anything to wait for? Or you begin to question, did you really wait for the right person?
Or
you see, all those people died without seeing Christ, but it was more agonizing for these disciples to see Christ living and then die. But Christ died, and the wait was not over. When Christ died, it's written about Joseph of Arimathea that he clinged to the body of Christ as he waited patiently for the kingdom of God. Even over the dead body of Christ, he didn't stop waiting. Christ resurrected. He ascended. He is coming back again. 2,000 years have passed. And Paul said that the night is over. The day is about to come. Paul said that our salvation or the coming is much closer than when we believed. Peter said that the Lord's coming is not delayed and we have been tarrying for 2,000 years. That's the biggest question we'll answer today. In this waiting for so long, have we lost that significance, that eagerness, the desire to wait for so long? The things that we do every Sunday over here, the things we do every day at our homes, whether it be reading the Bible, praying, or whatever we do, have we done it so many times enough to do it without any meaning? Have we really lost that flame or that eagerness that Christ could come right now? And in this, that when we are waiting for Christ, have we forgotten the fact that more than our wait, it is God who is waiting on us? This is how Peter said it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He is not delayed his coming. But he is waiting on you to repent. The KJV renders it saying he is long suffering towards you, or better, he is waiting towards you. Brethren, we can wait our whole lifetime and not see the coming of Christ. But the amount that God has waited on us, the amount he has been patient towards us, the amount he has tolerated us, honestly speaking, it didn't have to roll so much up to 2017. Back in the days of Noah, he could finish all of us. He's waited and he's waiting and he's still hoping that all, everywhere, everybody should be repentant of their sins. And that's why we don't understand this wait, because when we pray our prayers, we ask this question sometimes, how long should we pray for somebody? I mean, how long should I pray for this issue? How long should I pray for this person? I'm praying for this person's salvation for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. How long, Lord? Is he ever going to be saved? I'm waiting and praying for this person's, for his illness that he removes. For how long? 10, 20, 30, 40? Is he ever going to have a good health? We are praying for some things that we are not very clear of. We just hear some things and then we ask, how long should we pray for those people? How long should we pray for ourselves? There may be some spiritual trials that we need to overcome and we are praying and we are not being able to overcome. How long before we actually overcome? Sometimes God's answer is, wait. Like the songwriter said, that it can sometimes take 1,000 nights, 1,000 sleepless nights before you know that God is near. Do we have that endurance to wait, to perceive patiently? In fact, the Bible puts it this way, that at the end, the genuine test of our faith, whether it is genuine or fake, will be a faith that endures and perceives. Let's look at one more unusual answer, Genesis 16 and verse 9.
16 उत्पत्ति 16 उसको 9 इस प्रकार से पढ़ते हैं, यहोवा के दूत ने उससे कहा, अपनी स्वामिनी के पास लौट जा और उसके वश में रह।
One of the most brutal answers God can give to anybody. Because over here, Hagar is escaping domestic abuse at her home and she's running away, and God tells, go back to that mistress, go back and submit yourself. Today, if something like this happens, we know there are very strict legal redressals for this and it's not tolerated. But when Hagar faced this domestic abuse at her home, there was nobody to run, and that's exactly what she did. She ran into the middle of nowhere. And the Lord is saying, there is no running away from these kind of problems. You see, that's a very brutal answer. When we are asking God to save us from something that's unimaginable, God is saying, go back to it. Stay put. Maintain the status quo. Face it. Well, you know, this is only half the answer. The better half is in verse 14. Or let's read 13.
तब उसने यहोवा का नाम जिसने उससे बातें की थी अतरलोई रखकर कहा, क्या मैं यहाँ भी उसके जाते हुए देखने पाई और देखने के बाद भी जीवित रही? इस कारण उस कुएं का नाम लहरोई कुआं पड़ा, वो तो कादेश और बेरत के बीच में
है। बिर लहरोई, and it means God lives and sees me. See, that's the reason why God asked her to go back. That God lives and sees me. Think about it, when we face some disadvantages, dispositioned, sometimes when people are unjust towards us and belittle us, and we want to find justice for what we are facing. Cool. Against this particular person that is being rash towards us or brute towards us, and God is saying, face it. God is literally telling, be a loser. Like Paul actually said, it's okay to be a loser. But God is saying, I am seeing you, I am looking upon you, that is the reason why you will go through the situation. God is before you, that's why you go through it. God is behind you, that's why you go through it. He surrounds you like a fortress, that's why he says go through it. He is under you, with his hands he is holding you, that's why he says go through it. And he makes sure you are under the shadow of the Almighty God, so he says go through it. That's why God sometimes is not so interested in changing our situations. And that's why the answer to of our prayer, sometimes God is saying, return to it. And finally, can we look at one more unusual answer that God gave? Psalms 32, verse 8.
Bhajan 32, uska 8. Main tujhe buddhi dunga, aur jis marg mein tujhe chalna hoga, usme teri agwai karunga. Main tujh par kripa drishti rakhunga, aur sammati diya karunga.
In Hindi, the word is Krupa Dishti, but the last line over here in English says, I will guide you with my eye. The first part is normal answer, we get it, God teaches us and instructs us. The last verse says, I will guide you with my eye. It means God is not giving you an answer. He is not overtly talking to you an answer. He is not writing it down on the paper and say, this is the answer. He's not being obvious with the answer. Very discreetly, he's saying, I will guide you with my eyes. How do you talk without opening your mouth? How do you communicate without opening your mouth? I mean, nobody has taught us these things, but we know if you want to talk to somebody who's really far off and you're not going to listen, he's not going to listen, you just jerk your head up and ask what? Sometimes we know, no, yes, everything we figure out. When the teacher is around us, when the boss is around us, you don't want them to be a part of the conversation. You're talking to your colleagues, come here, go there, everything works out. You might have even seen it in some war videos when some soldiers are going to, like in Afghan or Iraq, they're sweeping through an area and they can't talk, otherwise it would give away their position. And so they move their hands, legs, swirl it around the air and they communicate. And the reason why I said these examples is not to say God communicates this way, but actually the otherwise. In fact, this verse says that God is communicating with us in a very discreet way. With my eyes. It's like this, most of y'all sitting at the back can clearly see me. But if I have to face my head straight at one direction and just move my eyeballs left, right, without even rounding my eyebrows, y'all would not be able to see that, those sitting at the back. So if you want to see the direction of my eyes, you need to be close. You see, this verse is saying that I will not guide you with my head movements, that I'm wearing my emotions on my face so you can read my face. I am not guiding you with movements of hands and legs, but only eyeballs. And if this can be one big lesson, we learn that sometimes the responsibility for our answered prayers is not only on God. The onus and impetus lies on us to be close enough to understand that answer. See, these are prayers where God is not talking to you. He's not giving you an answer, but just because you are close to Him, you know what is the right thing to do. It is that consistent, constant, continuous communion with God in form of prayer or fasting or Bible reading or in any form of fellowship that lets you understand the answer right away. This is a beautiful way to look at it. When you are so close to God, you have the mind of Christ in you that it becomes impossible for you to think in a carnal way. Like what Paul would say, when a thought comes that is against the authority of Christ, you will bring it down captive unto Him. So when you're so close to God, praying, and God is not answering you, but you figure out the answer anyways. Every step of the way, not because God gave you specific directions, but just because you were close to God, you took the right decision. See, sometimes the sole detrimental difference between a good decision and a bad decision is just how close you were to God when you took it. Sometimes it's not because God is not talking that we don't have answers. It's because maybe we are not listening. It's not because God is far from us. It's that we are not close to Him. And that is one of the most beautiful lessons, that God can guide us in such discreet ways just because we are close to Him. Let's relook at what we saw, that God's best and most favorite answer is asking us to wait. And oftentimes God is not interested in changing our situation, but He wants us to go through it. And God can sometimes answer without talking. This is how we look at it. God is asking us to wait. God is asking us to go back to the situations, face it. Why? Because He is looking after us. And why? He is also because guiding us with His eyes. It's like what the songwriter said, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full into His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. In God's name we pray.